Well, let's take the scriptures of God's Word and turn in them to the book of Matthew in chapter 27. Matthew 27, and we'll be reading this morning verses 1 through 32. Matthew 27, 1 through 32. God's people, let's hear now the word of the Lord. Now when morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people conferred together against Jesus to put him to death. And they bound him and led him away and delivered him to Pilate the governor. And when Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that he had been condemned, he felt remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." But they said, "What is that to us? See that, to that yourself." And he threw the pieces of silver into the temple sanctuary and departed. And he went away and hanged himself. The chief priest took the pieces of silver and said, "It is not lawful to put them into the temple treasury, since it is the price of blood." And they conferred together, and with the money bought the potter's field as a burial place for strangers. For this reason, that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then that which was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of the one whose price had been set by the sons of Israel, and they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor questioned him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said to him, "It is as you say." And while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" And he did not answer him with regard to even a single charge. So the governor was quite amazed. Now at the feast of the governor was accustomed to release for the people any one prisoner whom they wanted. At that time they were holding a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the people gathered together, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus who is called Christ?" For he knew that because of envy they had handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent him a message saying, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for last night I suffered greatly in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to put Jesus to death. But the governor said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ?" They all said, "Crucify him." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they kept shouting all the more, saying, "Crucify him." When Pilate saw that he was accomplishing nothing, but rather that a riot was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to that yourselves." And all the people said, "His blood shall be on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas for them. But after having Jesus scourged, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole Roman cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And after twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they knelt down before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spat on him and took the reed and began to beat him on the head. After they had mocked him, they took the scarlet robe off him and put his own garments back on him and led him away to crucify him. As they were coming out, they found a man of Cyrene named Simon, whom they pressed into service to bear his cross. And that is the word of the Lord. So this passage continues, obviously, from the last passage in chapter 26, where Jesus had been brought before the chief priest and sentenced to death for the sin of blasphemy. And yet we know that the account of Scripture is clear that Jesus, as we just read in the call to worship, He is fully innocent. And as even the wife of Pilate confesses here, He is perfectly righteous. He's also holy. And so before us again is the suffering of Jesus Christ leading up to His perfect sacrificial death on the cross. The sufferings and the trial ought to remind us of the eternities and sufferings and death we deserve before the hands of a perfect holy Lord, the God of creation, the God who sits enthroned now. And first, in this passage, we have the priests and elders. They're plotting the death of Jesus and how to have this happen and to deliver Him over to the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate. And we come back to that. We look at verse 11, going back to Pontius Pilate, where Jesus was before him. He is questioned. Yes, Jesus is the King of the Jews. But He's far more than just the King of the Jews. He is King of all kings. And Jesus did not answer the charges that were being laid upon about Him and concerning Him by the chief priests and the elders. Jesus is the King. And He does not need to answer. He is God Almighty. He is the Christ, the forever King from the line of David. And then the Jews among the people released, as was the custom, one of the accused. Did they release Jesus, who was holy and perfect and righteous and innocent? Of course they did not. They released the murderer, who here it says was notorious. The Gospel of Mark, it says that he was a murderer. They released Barabbas. And so Jesus was scourged, and so he had this whip, you remember, that they used with the bone fragments on the end of the whip, and they would whip His backside. And it would rip the flesh, and there'd be lots of blood. And then He was handed over to be crucified. And for a moment, we go back to Judas, the beginning of the chapter. And it's sandwiched in between the chief priests and Pontius Pilate and what they're doing. Judas was despairing now for what he had done, handing Jesus over to what was going to be certain death by crucifixion. Verse 4, perhaps that verse that gives us some pause about Judas. He says, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And he threw the silver down in the temple and went out and hung himself. He killed himself. The weight of sin, the weight of despair upon him, beloved, with no hope in Jesus Christ for salvation and life forever. That is hopelessness, and hopelessness leads people to suicide. Murdering self. But the chief priests are concerned about killing Jesus and their 30 pieces of silver. This dirty money couldn't be used in God's holy temple. No. So they bought a cemetery. In verses 9 and 10, fulfilling Zechariah 11. It says, then that which was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. And you'd think the chief priests would have known Jeremiah, or Zechariah 11, where it says, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of the one whose price had been set by the sons of Israel, and they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me. And then back at the end of our passage, verse 27. The Roman soldiers, they mocked him, they spat on him and beat him. They took the reed, they had formed a crown of thorns on his head, and they beat his head, which means they beat those thorns further into his skull. More suffering to this bloody, pulverized, innocent Savior. And they dressed him up as a king, which he is. And though they were mocking him, the robe that he had on was not suitable for him. And then we'll learn about that this morning when we kind of visit Isaiah 6. We think of the robe that filled the temple. And that's the robe of Jesus. And so this robe was not suitable for him. And he was led away to death by the cross. Let's pray. Gracious Father, you are so merciful to us, and gracious to us, not giving us what we deserve, not doing that, but giving us all that we don't deserve in Christ Jesus, his innocence and his righteousness before your throne. You have given us all things in him. And we praise your holy name, for you have delivered him over for us all, that we in him might have all things. That we would have life forever where he had to die. But we're thankful to you, Father, that death could not hold him, and that you raised him up from the dead. That he is not in some cemetery or grave today, but he has risen and now ascended, having now seated at the right hand of the Father, you, Lord God Almighty. And he is high and exalted. And the train of his robe fills the temple with glory. Father, we long to see that one day in all your glory. We also long to see it this day as we consider your word. When we go to Mount Sinai and then when we go to Isaiah 6. And so help us in that when we go there. We also thank you for your sacrifice, your sufferings, the scourgings, the great persecutions of being spat upon and beaten and whipped and becoming a bloody mess. All so that we would have our bodies today intact and with a great hope for the future, a hope that Judas did not have. For he had betrayed your very son. And yet, Father, we consider our own betrayal of your Son every day and every moment. We are virtually just like Judas. Except for by your grace. And so we marvel at your grace by which you have brought us thus far. In which we know that you'll bring us all the way home. As we are strangers in the land now, we know you'll bring us home to you, to be with your Son forever. You'll give us new glorified bodies, which in our bodies now we struggle and we have that remaining sin and our bodies failing. And these things we praise your name because you're the God who heals our bodies, even in this life. And Father, we thank you that again, you have brought Karen through her surgery. We ask that you would heal her body completely and strengthen her. Even strengthen her greater than what the strength she had before that surgery a year or so ago. And Father, we thank you for the great news of blessing about Lillian's exam that there's no tumor or anything like that. We do pray, though, for the wisdom of doctors to help figure out what the issue is. And you would bless that family and strengthen her, as well as we pray for the Dunns and Sharon and Dina and others, Father, who continue struggling in their bodies. Father, we thank you for those magistrates, the authorities over us, that you have put into place by your ordained, foreordained plan. We trust you. Let us not grumble about them. We trust you that these are for our good, for the spread of the gospel and for your glory. Perhaps even for the condemnation of those who hate you, dishonor your name. But may those who dishonor your name become fewer and fewer, more would come, we pray, that into the kingdom of God. That they would be saved, that our rulers, authorities would be saved, and they would love you above all other things, and all other people, and all other gods. And so, Father, we pray that you would hear our prayers. We pray in your Son's name. Amen.